The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Buck a pound, she appears to be. A base price is emerging today, and it's up a quarter from last season. It also makes for some pretty easy math, even for you knuckle-dragging crew members out there wondering just how much ski-bumming you'll be doing this winter. Good day out there. It's Sunday, July 16th. The total run is now to 49 million fish. I'm Dave Benninger, glad to be on board with you for the final Bristol Bay Fisheries Report of the season. Coming up, your three managers give a preliminary recap of their season. Yes, the Nooshinggak was shattering records, but Paul Solomon says don't overlook what happened elsewhere.
Nooshinggak was, like I said, the biggest run I've had to work with since I've been here, and it kind of pales in comparison to what's going on in the Noosh.
Naknek Quijack is creeping towards the forecast, but has not been an exceptionally great year. Travis Ellison says it looks more like an average one.
Yeah, I feel like some of it was just perception and relative to the other districts. You know, we're killing 500,000 fish in the Naknek Quijack district every day, and, you know, that's a small run from a lot of people's eyes and really poor, but when you look back through history, it's kind of pretty much of an average.
Plus, we'll let some old-timers from Nooshinggak Point weigh in on just how incredible a season it was.
I've never seen it like this, where the fish started we started June 21. They actually went by in huge numbers before the opening. They have been present ever since in large numbers, which is totally unique.
That's all ahead on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Brailler, thanking customers for purchasing brailers, slush bags, and net bags from a local family-owned company, measuring and building gear for a perfect fit. Orders for next season at 907-469-0782 or online at bristolbaybrailler.com.
Thank you for joining us today. Catch the replay at 6, 10, and 2 and find all of this season's shows with great photographs, stories, and the rest at kdlg.org. Let's start with a summary of your Bristol Bay run through July 15th through midnight last night. Total run now 48,800,000 sockeye. That's after another day of harvest of 1.191 million fish. That's 1,191,000 across the five districts. Total harvest in Bristol Bay this season and now stands at 32,117,000 sockeye. That's over a preseason forecast estimate of 27.4 million. Put a lot of fish in the bins here. Yesterday's escapement was a total of 450,000. Total passage so far this season is 16,580,000 fish. The state was expecting escapement across all systems of 12.4 million. There's an in-river estimate today of the Ugashic River of 100,000, and that adds up to the total of 48.8 million. Broken down by districts, Ugashic catch yesterday, 328,000 sockeye. Season total harvest in Ugashic, 4,138,000. The estimate harvest for Ugashic district was 4,090,000, so that's now been surpassed. Ugashic tower count yesterday was 63,000 sockeye. Total on the season is 920,000. In-river estimate of 100,000 fish, and the total run is now 5,159,000 sockeye out of a preseason forecast of 5,460,000. In the Igigik district, catch on Saturday, 326,000. Total harvest this season is now 10,096,000 fish. That's out of a forecast this season of 8.5, so it's over by about 1.5 million so far. Escapement past the tower was 22,380. Season total escapement is 2,548,000 fish, over the top of the 2,800,000 to 2 million range. And the total run to Igigik now stands at 12,644,000 sockeye out of a preseason total run forecast of 10.6 million over the top. Naknek Quijack harvest Saturday was 300,000 sockeye. Cumulative harvest is 6,586,000. The prediction at the beginning of the season was a harvest of 8.2 million. Your escapements, Naknek River, 35,100 fish. Cumulative of 1.7 million past the tower of the Naknek River. inside the goal range of 800,000 to 2 million. Quijack River, 140,000 past the tower. Quijack total is 2.436, 2,436,000 sockeye. That's inside the escapement goal range of 2 million to 10 million fish. Alagnac River Tower counted 73,400 sockeye Saturday. Alagnac season total stands at 1,771,000. And the total run to the Naknek Quijack District through Saturday is 12,515,000 out of a preseason forecast of 16 million fish. Nooshigak District, smaller fleet, day by day, still harvesting 213,000 sockeye yesterday. Season total harvest is now in record territory at 11,015,000 sockeye. The preseason forecast harvest called for 6 million out of the district. It's now 5 million over the expected amount. Looking at your escapements on the west side, just barely beginning to slow down a bit. Nooshigak River counting 29,700 reds past the sonar. Total Nooshigak sockeye escapement this year is 2,780,000 fish, well over the top end of the goal range of 370,000 to 900,000. Wood River Tower crew counted 69,420 reds yesterday. Season total is now 3,918,000 fish. And the Igushik Tower counted 14,238 reds, putting the season total Igushik count to 445,000. That's over the top end as well. The goal range for the Igushik, 150,000 to 400,000 fish. Season total for the Nooshigak District now stands at 18,156,000 sockeye. Also a record, continues to climb into new territory. It's also now 10 million over its preseason forecast. Togiak fleet landing 24,000 sockeye yesterday. Season total harvest there is 282,000. Togiak Tower crew tallied up 2,445 sockeye Saturday. Season total passage is 43,000, and the total run to the Togiak district is about halfway, 324,000 sockeye out of a preseason forecast of 660,000 fish. Again, yesterday's harvest was 1,190,000, and the total run is 48,800,000 fish. Average sockeye per drift delivery for Saturday, Ugashik still on top, 992 was the number. Igigik, 536. Nooshigak, 505. Naknek Quijack, 304. Togiak, 230. Looking at your allocation splits, Ugashik drifters accounting for 91.5% of the harvest, Ugashik set netters, 8.5%, Igigik drift net, 86.6%, Igigik set net, 13.4% of the harvest, and the Naknek Quijack drifters, just 70.2% of the harvest, set netters split Naknek 16.9%, Quijack 13%. In the Nooshigak district, drifters 75.9%, Nooshigak set 17.5%, Igushik set 3.5%, unspecified 3.1%, Togiak 100% unspecified. Nooshigak king count, there were 109 past the sonar on July 14th. Total count is 55,423. And your boat counts here, starting with the Ugashik district. As of 10 a.m. this morning, 409 permits registered to fish, 424 after the weight, 310 vessels registered to fish, 324 after the weight, 99 are D-boats, adding one more D-boat. Igigik, 390 permits registered to fish the fish. Going to, or staying the same, rather, that's on 289 vessels, no changes indicated, 101 D-boats. Naknek Quijack, 571 permits registered to fish, climbing to 579 after the weight. That's on 482 vessels, climbing to 488, and 89 D-boats going to 91, doubled up. Nooshigak District, 290 permits registered to fish, 289 after the wait. Somebody's leaving. That's on just 226 vessels. And out there today, 64 D-boats registered. And in Togiak, 43 permits registered on 43 vessels. No changes indicated there. The Area M harvest from yesterday in the area from Bear River to the Outer Port Hyden sections, 79,900 sockeye landed. Season total is 2.4 million. Total Area M sockeye harvest yesterday was 167,000. Total Area M sockeye harvest this season is 5,036,000 fish. And that is your... The only other thing published today was an interesting bit of summary on the genetics. It's best looked at on screen, not over the airwaves. We'll link that to today's report for all those listening online and for those of you after the season. That is your Daily Run Summary on the final Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Fish at kdlg.org or I'm Dave at kdlg.org, 907-842-5281. Again, thank you to many who contributed during our pledge drive. We had a few more even this morning. A lower combine set netter called in to say really appreciated good music, news, and information from KDLG. Really didn't want an incentive, just wanted to pledge $250. It was nice chatting with you this morning, and thanks for that donation. Another donation just walked in the door, so we really appreciate that support. It's not too late to do so. You can reach us very easily here most of the time at the station. Well, earlier this morning, I asked all three of the state's area management biologists if they wouldn't mind sharing a few minutes to share a few preliminary thoughts about their season. We'll start with Westside manager Tim Sands. Tim, Nooshiegak, much can be said about what just immediately, other than the records, what just jumps out to, in your mind as you wrap up, and it's not done, but as we start to wrap up 2017?
Just a really huge season. I don't know. Just been a crazy ride.
So as I'm speaking to you this Sunday here, the harvest in the Nooshiegak has gone over 11 million fish, and that's never been seen before. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What economic impact do you think this will have? Have you seen fish tickets? How are people doing?
You know, I haven't seen the fish tickets, but clearly, folks that were in the Nooshiegak and stayed here had lots of opportunity, lots of fish to be caught, and lots of fish were caught. Especially set netters, you know, we're approaching, if you include the Wood River, we're approaching the best set net year ever for this district. And every set net section is above average here. So, yeah, I think it is a good deal for folks. And, of course, with price being posted at a dollar, that's 25 cents more than last year's base. So that's another good deal.
There was nothing Fish and Game or the state could do about processor limits, and I really do encourage fishermen to take a look at the FRI chart just to see how many fish came in for how many days in a row and to get a sense of what this run really looked like in the numbers. But your rivers have all over-escaped. Was there anything could have been done different?
There's always, you know, people can always Monday morning quarterback decisions. Clearly, we held off early on to protect Nooshiegak king salmon, and that started with some more escapement for the sockeye than we would have had in a normal year, but I will maintain that it was the right decision because we were just barely at the escapement for kings, and the difference we made, you know, was 10,000 to 15,000 fish that kings had made it up river because we waited. And I think that's an important thing biologically and for other reasons too.
We've talked about the Kings recently that they have hit the lower end of the 55,000 goal range, and that's set for scientific reasons, so it's not as many as some people might like to see, but state says that's good enough. Have you any concern about this many fish up into the systems? This is something we'll talk about in the future, but just as people are, as a quick takeaway for those following along this fishery, these many millions of fish up the Nooshkak and Wood River, what say you?
We'll see. You know, certainly the Wood has had it before, and it didn't seem to have any negative impacts. It's a big nutrient dump up there, and that's got to be good for the whole ecosystem. As far as Nooshkak, the data indicates that there could be problems, but, you know, that was from 1980, and there's other factors that are different, so it remains to be seen. But like you say, there's not a whole lot we could have done different.
Mother Nature did something very phenomenal here in the west side of Bristol Bay this year, and it will be 2017 will be one for the history books in many ways. Tim Sands, area manager for the district and for Togiak as well. Tim, I want to thank you for participation again on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
All right, sounds good, Dave. Always happy to help.
Well, hey, the working man like me. I ain't never been on welfare, and that's one place I won't be. I'll be working as long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues. This song for the working man.
Travis Ellison, Naknek Quijack District Biologist.
All right, Travis. Well, thanks for being available on this Sunday here. And sort of a preliminary recap. I know that the action's not done there yet. I'm looking at the numbers today. Total runs climbed to 12.5 million. Your harvest is at 6.5. Forecast harvest, that's just 2 million off. What do you think so far today? How long does she have to go? And what do you say about the season so far?
I think we're starting to see the tail off here. And harvest, we've been sticking around 500 to 600,000 daily catch through two days ago. Yesterday it dropped off to about 300,000, and that's basically with the same amount of effort out there. So that shows that the fish are starting to slow down. Our escapements are starting to slow down too up the rivers. So some other signs are pretty high chum percentages out there is what I'm hearing right now. So, and then you look at the calendar, and these are all signs that we're getting close to the end of the run here.
Were you surprised by anything, including the Quijack return? It doesn't seem like it came in like it was forecast to.
Oh, I wouldn't say I was surprised by the numbers that came back. The Quijack, you know, is a little bit below forecast there, but I think some of it seems to be perception over the last couple of years. The last 3 years, Quijack's been really, really strong, so a lot of people kind of expected that, especially late in the run, to see a big Quijack push. I never really saw signs of that coming, but we did get enough fish to meet the goal and to, you know, have quite a few full district openers for drift gill nets. But, yeah, I feel like some of it was just perception and relative to the other districts. You know, we're killing 500,000 fish in the Naknek Quijack district every day, and, you know, that's a small run from a lot of people's eyes and really poor, but when you look back through history, it's kind of pretty much an average
all run right
size and kind of average catches for the district. It's just that compared to the last few years and then this year what was going on in Igigik and Nooshkak districts, it made it seem small.
All right. You did get your escapement goals met, which is priority one from the state side. But what will you be sort of ruminating on, chewing over in the weeks ahead before you file a final report for the season?
Well, that's the biggest thing is the escapement goals, of course, and we'll just be watching those to see when to pull the projects and make sure we've got a good tally there. One thing that didn't work out great with the allocation this year, but I'm not sure what we could have really done differently. I think most of that had to do with just lack of boats in the district. We started off around 300 boats, and we ended with less than 500 boats, so those are real small numbers for here.
Maybe you could explain where should your allocation split be that it's not there right now?
Well, indication in the book is 84% drift and 16% set net. And through yesterday, we're at about 70% drift. Most seasons, the set netters do start out a little bit ahead. And then as we get through the peak of the run and towards the end, and when we're fishing more full district openers, typically the drift net fleet will catch up in allocation. This year, even when we had full district openers for two tides in a day, the daily allocation for drifters never got above 80%. So that's full fishing time, full district, and we still couldn't even get the 84% for even a day, let alone the entire season. So I'm not sure there could have been much done differently. I did hear a little bit of griping about it a few days ago, but you know, I feel like we provide as much opportunity as we could in the whole district. Just one of those things. I've been kind of lucky the last few years to get that down to within a percent, which is always nice. But we'll move on. Try again next year.
Last question. Was having the Alagnac Tower count this year helpful? Did it matter much to you? Will it just save some late season counts from aerial survey, or how's that worked out?
Oh, it's been really a helpful piece of information. I feel like we've been more aggressive on the Kwijak side with the Alagnac information showing, you know, with over 1.7 million escapement, that's some surplus fish in that river. So the whole decisions to go over to the west side were just making sure we could meet that Kwijak full well, knowing there was a surplus of Alagnac fish. And I think if we didn't have that tower and if we had any concerns over smaller fish numbers there, then we'd probably have been more conservative on the west side and maybe had more just neck-neck section openers. So it's a good piece of information. It gives us a lot better understanding of how big the Kwijak is and how much surplus we have going up the Alagnac at the same time. And it's really informative. We could, you know, we really had two big pulses to the district this season, right there early July and then about a week later. And you could see the travel time where the fish would hit the district and they'd hit the Knack-Knack Tower the next day. The day after that, they hit the Lagnac Tower, and the day after that, they'd hit the Kwijak Tower. It was kind of interesting how the fish came in and just really a couple big pulses. And it seemed to be all three river systems came in together on those pulses. So that was kind of something I didn't realize would be happening. I was thinking I'd see more of a run timing split just between the three rivers.
All right. Travis Ellison, a manager for the Naknek Kwijak District, thanks for the availability today and again this season here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for all the help this season.
Just living my life, easy come, easy go. Income tax overdue, and I think she is too. Been busted, I'll probably get busted some more. But I'll catch it all later. Can't let them stop me now. I've been down this road once, twice before, yeah.
Getting by is my stock and trade. Living it day to day.
Picking up the pieces wherever they fall.
Paul Salamone, Area Management Biologist for Rig and Ugashik.
All right, Paul, nice to speak with you also. As I'm looking at the numbers, Igigik, another great year. Ugashik is now pretty much at its preseason forecast. Took a little while to get there, but what say you? And I'd also like to ask you, I heard today that Igigik Tower had three of its biggest count days back-to-back-to-back this year, and maybe you can just give folks some perspective on what's going on in Igigik Ugashik.
Well, two of them for sure. We had a 616 and a 500,000 fish day back-to-back, and that was right in the middle of that 3rd, 4th, 5th July onslaught that we had. Coincidentally, I had three of the biggest catches I've seen in the district on those same 3 days, or the days bookending those 2 days. So we had quite the volume show up just between the 2nd and the, it's still continuing, actually. It's got a fairly good tail on it for the moment. They're still catching 300,000 a day down there, which is, you know, in most years, that's a pretty good number. This year it's kind of a little bit of a, it seems a lot slower, I'll say it that way. It's the biggest run I've had to work with since I've been in the position.
So that's Igigik. Ugashik, there was this just agonizing wait, but it seems like it's come in. Of course, there's not a lot more people down there now to take part in this last week or so's worth of fishing, but tell me about Ugashik.
It's kind of doing fairly nicely right now. It's got a pretty decent run size total. We got a pretty decent harvest. The escapement goal is right near the midpoint, which I'm pretty happy with. I think we'll end up slightly above it, but it's under control, and it's starting to drop off pretty quickly. So I'm pretty happy with where Ugashik is right now. You're right, it did start off kind of slow, but like everybody else, we saw that big spike on the front end. Once we got past that, it's been kind of steady.
As I asked your colleagues, anything that you'll be thinking over before you file your final management report? What's on your mind about 2017?
Just how different of a year it was. It started off slow, and like we talked about it, a big contrast between the east and the west side. We've seen that at least one other time since I've been here. 2006 was kind of a split run timing, but hard to keep up with the Nooshiak this year. It was just a monster. Igigik was, like I said, the biggest run I've had to work with since I've been here, and it kind of pales in comparison to what's going on in the Noosh.
Bristol Bay just reminds people how fascinating Mother Nature can be, and this is a year to take note of that. Certainly one for the books, and I know on the industry side there will be a lot to talk about when this season's over, but Paul Solomon, Area Manager for Igigik and Ugashik, thanks so much for your availability today, and again on this year's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Thanks so much, Paul.
You're welcome, Dave, anytime.
Well, here's a toast to all of those who sleep beneath the sea. Maybe they're the lucky ones, for they don't have to see how the men like us now sit and cuss and talk of how it was back in the days when we went fishing. This town's become a ghost town since the fishing went to hell. Some of them still try their hand and never do that well. Most of all, the glory's in the stories that they tell. Back in the days when we went, back in the days when we went, back in the days when we went fishing.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
Thanks for staying with us. Two things left off the daily run summary. One was an email from Trident Seafoods with a base price. Trident Seafoods posting a $1 base price, plus 15 cents for chilled, 5 cents for floated, and 5 cents for bled fish. Again, a dollar base price plus 15, 5, and 5 available to Trident Seafoods fishermen. They say that's up a quarter from last year. One other company reporting the same. Several of the companies not getting back to us today as we sought to confirm if all had posted a dollar. Silver Bay Seafoods, fleet manager, says they will post that price for their fishermen, for their fishermen tomorrow. They were not ready to do so today. If you get fish price info you'd like to forward to us, you know the numbers, 907-842-5281, dave@kdlg.org. One other thing left off the daily run summary of the king harvest so far this season. In the Nooshiak District, 31,000 kings have been tallied as harvest. Togiak District, 4,000 kings. Naknek, Quijack, 1,000. Ugashik, 1,000. Total of 37,000 kings listed as harvest so far this season in Bristol Bay. Not long back, we dispatched Westside fishery reporter Nick Shalino over to Nooshiak Point to check in with the set netters fishing this record-setting year. The rows of small cabins lining the beach are peopled with everyone from greenhorns fishing their first to family members supporting the fishermen to those who have been fishing the Nooshiak District for more than 5 decades. Nick Shalino brought back this report.
The pilings of a long-since-closed-down salmon cannery stand erect on the rocky beach. Just beyond, you can see the roof of Doug Cooper's cabin, peering over the tall grass. Cooper has been fishing his set net site at Nooshiak Point since 1951.
When I started here, there were just 3 or 4 of us set netting at Nooshiak Point. And now the set nets start here at the marker and go all the way for whatever it is, 20 miles clear to the outer marker, out on the Cape without any breaks hardly, so it's just wall-to-wall set nets now.
Over the years, Cooper has seen people come and go. He has seen the two canneries on the point close down, and he remembers the fire that burnt down the Russian Orthodox Church at the top of the hill. But he says he has never seen a run to match this year's.
I've never seen it like this, where the fish started we started June 21. They actually went by in huge numbers before the opening, but they must have started maybe the 17th or so going by in huge numbers here, and then they have been present ever since in large numbers, which is totally unique.
The run has been substantial enough to overwhelm the processor, Peter Pan Seafoods, who has been forced to place Nushigak set netters on daily limits. While many fishermen express frustration with the limits, Cooper says the restrictions have made fishing easier.
It's not a popular thing to say, but the closures by the cannery actually help us in some level because nobody's fishing for well. The fish move up here to where we are, and then when we put our nets out, they're there for us instead of being filtered out by being open 24 hours a day.
Cooper's neighbor on Nushigak Point, Tom Rollman, manages a large operation of a couple dozen crew members fishing multiple permits. He says when fishing is wide open, he deploys his crew in shifts, but the limits have changed that strategy.
When we catch the 2,000 pounds per permit, we're finished for that 24-hour period. So we just send the whole crew up till they get our quota, and then they come back. Where normally they would be 12 on, 12 off, two different crews.
Curtis Olson, better known as Oli, is the self-proclaimed mayor of Nushigak Point and has fished the district for 37 years. He was medevaced out when his gallbladder turned septic during last year's season and considered retirement. He says he's glad he continued to fish because he was able to participate in what he calls the greatest run ever in the history of the Nushigak district.
This has been a sight to see. I mean, the greatest migration ever of salmon to the Nushigak district, and I live to see it. And you know, it's kind of a wonderful thing.
On July 11th, the Nushigak salmon run surpassed the previous record of 15,738,332 fish set back in 2006, and it's still going. I'm Nick Shalino, KDLG News.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Final messages out to the fleet. This one in today. It's a happy birthday to Pete Crosby on the fishing vessel Ramblin' Rose. This comes in from your brother John and the entire Otter Room family. They say they love you, Chumpy. All right. And this in from Richard Patrick today says shout out to Dave Benninger for all the great work this season with the Bristol Bay Report. Thank you for that, Richard. We listen every day and often pass the information you give us directly to the crew of the Sabina and others fishing in the bay. Final shout out to Eric Seberg, Quinn Patrick, and the rest of the crew on the Sabina. Nice job this year, you guys. Dad says pay extra attention to safety as you cross the finish line. Can't wait for you guys to get home. Lots of hot showers, pot roast, and Mom's pumpkin pie waiting for you here. With love from Sister Sarah and Keith from Mammoth Lakes, Sister Marin from Seattle, Quinn's partner Audra from Tacoma, and Mom and Dad from Port Orchard. Sincerely, Richard Patrick. Thanks for all the notes that came in this year. It was fun to pass along in this program. Your marine weather forecast today, look for variable winds less than 10 knots becoming southeast this afternoon, 10, seas up to 2. Tonight, southeast 10, picking up to 15 after midnight, seas 3. And tomorrow, southeast 20, seas 4. Watch for south winds of 25 knots tomorrow night, pushing seas to 6 to 7 feet. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a little bit stronger weather today and also especially tomorrow night as well. Today, southeast 15 with gusts of 25 in the bays and passes. Seas up to 4. Tonight, south 20, seas 4. Tomorrow, south 20, seas 4. And tomorrow night, southwest 25, seas up to 6. Well, a final note. Throughout the season, random thoughts occur about how to sign off on our final show, but by this morning, my inkwell runneth dry. Suffice with a few brief remarks. One, the Bristol Bay fishery is an amazing dynamic event to report on, even if doing so means a lot of time sitting in the office to pull a broadcast together. Two, we try to hustle and capture the narrative of the season and report many pieces of this fabric, knowing we will never get to all of them in a single summer. Especially on the industry side, we find fewer and fewer willing souls to come on this program and discuss their trials and tribulations, successes, wins, and losses, and how they aim admirably to move heaven and earth to get your catch out of this bay as best and quickly as possible. Three, we hope you've enjoyed and appreciated our efforts to keep you informed and occasionally entertained. We enjoy extending that effort and appreciate you keeping us tuned in. This unique production will go on hiatus for now, but our coverage does not stop. Catch all the latest in our local news at 7, 8, noon, 4:30, and 5:30, and online at kdlg.org. I'm Dave Benninger. Keep in touch. Don't hesitate to drop a line or drop in and say hello. By request, we'll leave you with the Chieftains cover of a Bob Dylan tune. Look forward to seeing you again here next year on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Oh, the time will come when the winds will stop and the breeze will cease to be breathing, like the stillness in the wind before the hurricane begins, the hour that the ship comes in. Oh, the seas will split and the ship will head, and the sands on the shoreline will be shaking. Then the tide will sound and the winds will pound, and the morning will be a-breaking. Oh, the fishes will laugh as they swim out of the pan, and the seagulls, they'll be smiling, and the rocks on the sand will proudly stand the hour that the ship comes in. And the words that are used for to get the ship confused will not be understood as they are spoken, for the chains of the sea will have busted in the night and be buried at the bottom of the ocean. A song will lift as the mainsail shifts and the boat drifts out to the shoreline, and the sun will respect every face upon the deck the hour that the ship comes in. Then the sands will roll out a carpet of gold for your weary toes, be it touching. And the ship's wise men will remind you once again that the whole wide world is
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.